Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Admittedly, this is not a good idea, but it is an idea. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you don't recall this. This predates you here at Wretched Radio. Years and years ago, and I'm talking years and years ago, we had, I think it was an annual tradition, we had an O Holy Night off. Oh. Now, we didn't take the night off. That Christmas carol, that Christmas song, O Holy Night, that has the big note at the end.
Oh, okay.
We assembled probably 20 different versions of it to determine who did the best version of O Holy Night. And if I remember, I think it was David Phelps, if I'm not mistaken. Whew, that fellow can sort. It was better than the Mariah Carey business. We could do a Mary Did You Know off. That's a very good song.
Yeah, it is.
And it's got enough of a big note at the end. So, hey, if you feel like it, you could assemble a bunch of those. And then next week, we could have a Mary Did You Know off.
Okay.
Because I don't actually mind hearing that song over and over again. 877-282-233. Do you like the idea?
I do.
Really?
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. 877-282-2337. Or you can email if you're, Neanderthalic. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, as a Christian, should we let people take advantage of us in the workplace? Are we supposed to be nice and just take it?
Without knowing a circumstance, I'm going to have to find that squishy middle zone. Yes and no. If you're not being sinned against, If you're not being accused of something that you didn't do, that's going to get you in hot water, as I think the principle would be, yeah, we do take it. We do. If we can absorb it, that's what we do. We're Christians. We're the turn the other cheek people. We're the go ahead. It's okay. I'm secure. I don't really care what the servants think. My king has adopted me and I am beloved. So I can handle whatever the stings and the barbs and the arrows are. As a rule. Now, do you have to do that all the time? I think that some wisdom would say no. When, for instance, it's you're being accused of something really bad, you don't have to take that. Does that mean that you can't talk to a person who perhaps is assaulting you verbally in some way? Of course you can talk to them, but it should be done as a Christian. It shouldn't be done like, all right, pal, one more time, and I'm going to really let you have it. You know, Jimmy, I was thinking about this. I actually shared this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and it was another one of those moments where it's like, should I say this or not? Was thinking about the passion of our Christ. We have a tendency to overlook, it's a theme in Matthew. It's repeated over and over again. It doesn't just make an appearance at the crucifixion. Jesus was hounded and mocked by Pharisees and Sadducees. And when you consider, for instance, his exchange in John chapter 8 and 9, told his father is the devil. I mean, wow. And then you get to the passion at the kangaroo courts that he endured. And then how's about the Roman soldiers? Can you imagine what they said to Jesus? Soldiers. We're talking soldier talk here. As they stripped and whooped him, spit on him, punched him in the face. Can you imagine? And then how's about even the religious leaders joining the unbelievers in a chorus of taunts and mockery while he was on the cross? And he never retaliated. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he didn't open his mouth and respond, and he could have. And it dawned on me, I mean, I don't know that God could even do this, because if it would be sinful, it wouldn't. But if Jesus had chosen to respond and mock back, he would have wilted them. They would have just shriveled and shrunk back under the heat of his words, because If anybody can deliver something powerful and potent, it would be God. But he never did it. Never did it. Because he's meek. He's not wimpy. That's not what meek means. It means his power is under control. He could have scorched them. And he didn't. Why? Because he was fulfilling all righteousness. He was absorbing the wrath of God. He was taking the cup of wrath that should be delivered and consumed by you and me on himself, that we might be forgiven. That is what Jesus endured for us. Perhaps if you are in a workplace, a work environment, where you're receiving some of those sharp words or even lies, as a rule, we take them. We turn the other cheek. We expose it when it's damaging. And we certainly can lovingly confront somebody to tell them to maybe use better choices of words. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Pat. Todd, what are your thoughts on the pastor knowing how much each member gives to the church?
Yeah, that's a good debate to have. And I think there is such a wide variety, probably a range everywhere from absolutely not to absolutely I gotta know. And I don't think either one of those is sinning. I think that there's some wisdom that says you don't know, because money is a weird thing. When you find out that somebody's giving a lot of money, you just know it. And so it can really affect the relationship. It can affect what you preach. Let's just say the text. It was really clear that this is something that should be brought out of the text. But the guy who gives a lot is dealing with that issue. And if I preach on this, he's going to think I'm coming right at him. Will that affect the way that he gives? Look, I'm not saying every pastor does that, but it is a temptation. So for my money, no pun intended, I say, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. For me, it wouldn't be healthy personally to know those things. Now, having said that, there is an issue, though, potentially of sin. I know that giving is typically a sermon subject that most people go, all right, here we go. It's the give money thing. But wait a second. Let's remember what giving money is. It's an act of worship in response to the God who gave us his son so that we could be saved and reconciled and adopted. We should joyfully give with very open hands and a joy-filled heart. That's what it should be. And if a pastor doesn't know that somebody who could be giving isn't giving, he can't address it. And there are times when he should. Now, personally, I would position the issue as a matter of, hey, do you know what you're missing out on here? Do you know what a joy it is to give? Jesus, he instructs us on this issue. It's so much better to give than to receive. It's such a joyful thing to be able to do. You're missing out, bro. And if you don't know, you can't help him. So I see both sides of it. I tipped, you got to checks and balances. For me, I don't want to know. Jimmy, do you want to know?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know at all. I mean, I know, I understand that the Bible doesn't forbid it,
right?
But it's also, people are human, and it could lean a pastor even subconsciously toward favoritism towards some
people. There's the favoritism thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So you want to guard against all of that stuff.
I think we can make a law. No, don't do it. 877. That sounded like Yul Brynner. 877. No. Don't smoke. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Anonymous. Todd, when unbelievers pray, who are they praying to?
The air. a God of their own making. And these are not prayers that God... Does God hear those prayers? Well, of course he hears, because he knows every sound that is being made right now. He knows everything all the time. But he doesn't hear them in that he doesn't have any obligation to respond to them. Now, what about our prayers? Does he have an obligation to respond to us? Well, because we're in his son and his son intercedes on our behalf, he does listen to our prayers and he always gives an answer. Not always the answer we want, but he always does. He doesn't ignore our prayers. Your prayers are always heard. And that reminds me again, sorry for this. The doctrine of adoption, the doctrine, this glorious doctrine. I think it was John Owen who called the doctrine of adoption the privilege. This is the gem of being a Christian on the earth. You could argue that glorification would be the diamond theology, but the Puritans unanimously said adoption is greater than justification, because justification brings about our the ability for us to be adopted by God. And so they celebrated the doctrine of adoption. And you say, what does that have to do with prayer? Well, Galatians 4:4, Paul lists no less than five, 4:4 through 4:6 or 7. He lists five fruits of the doctrine of adoption. And you know what one of them is? We can call him Abba, Father. We can talk to God. We have access to God because of Jesus Christ, that he justified us, fit us for adoption, and God welcomed us into a peaceful relationship with himself. And you can know, therefore, because you are a son, a daughter of the Most High, he's hearing your prayers. God does not see his children and think, oh, I barely want to see him. I definitely don't want to hear him. No, he invites us, cast all your cares upon me. Pray without ceasing. You have access to Abba, to your Father, and you can have assurance. I remember hearing, I actually remember who it was, but that doesn't matter. Said, boy, there's just times I'm praying when I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. No, they're not. Your Father hears every one. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers, because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You didn't think I was going to play David Phelps. Holy night. Okay, hold on. He's giving me angst. Jimmy, he's starting way too high. I know where this song goes.
Yeah.
It's the big kaboom at the end. He's way too high. And I'm feeling that pressure. Is he going to hit the big note? Does he have any room up there?
And the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Okay, this hurts, but I'm gonna fast forward to the end so we can get to the big kaboom kabang.
In grateful chorus raise we let all
he wins. Oh. When the singer outlasts the band holding the last note. Oh, man. This is Wretched Radio. Going to be tough to beat that, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mariah, sorry. I don't think she can hold a candle to that one. We'll perhaps be doing that with Mary Did You Know next week. Perhaps. Would you please send your favorite version or anything wretched to idea@wretched.org? Or if you got some questions, comments, conundrum, snarks, you can text away to 877-282-2337. I did better than Mike Fabara's. Mike Fabara's, he speed reads through the numbers. Oh. What did he say? He left skid marks. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a bit confused about pride. Is it wrong to feel satisfied and pleased when I accomplish something?
It can be fine. If it is done in the context of understanding that your accomplishment is courtesy of God, that you realize, wow, look at what the Lord let me do. Look at what the Lord empowered me to accomplish. That's how we understand it, right? Anytime we literally give ourselves a pat on the back, like, yep, I killed that one. Okay, it's like David Phelps. If at the end of that song, he was like, yeah, I think that would be crossing the line into sin. But even if he finishes an amazing song like that, recognizing it was God who put those pipes into his throat, well, then it can be like, wow, God, you're amazing. Not me and my accomplishment, you and your power. 877-282-2337.
All right, my question, this is a text from Anonymous. We got a lot of anonymous texts today, but this is a question regarding you advocating for everyone becoming a member at his or her local church.
Yes.
There are several denominations that don't require church membership. So what would you say in those incidents?
They don't have it? Is there a church that doesn't have it? Well, I suppose there's a church that doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I don't know why Elevation Church comes to mind. By the way, this was probably predictable, but I just read that Elevation Church just started up some sort of college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you need to know what makes this interesting, because clearly he's been shifting and moving for years. But Stephen Furtick, though this probably isn't going to make anybody from Southern Seminary happy to remind you that he's a graduate of Southern Sem, Stephen Furtick. And now the college, now he dropped membership from the SBA over the role of women, but now he's starting up a college and it's in conjunction with the Assemblies of God. So needless to say, he's done a fair amount of moving. I suspect Stephen probably doesn't even encourage membership. Long as the money keeps coming in. And I suppose there are denominations that don't do that. I would they not let you become a member? Could it be something where you could approach your pastor and say, hey, I know that our church polity doesn't include membership. I feel that that's really important because if I'm not a member, you can't discipline me and I don't want to be in danger. You'll have no authority over me. And so I would love to be a member. Can we work that out somehow for my own spiritual safety and protection? Because I do think that it is paramount that you are a member of a local church, and it's not just church discipline. It's planting your heart in a place. When you're a regular attender, it's so easy to be a consumer, isn't it? I know it. I think we all feel that. But when you're a member, I've checked them out. They've checked me out. We're on the same team. We're on the same page. We are committing to this work together. And I think that the local church, now you got your family, that's the tightest order, the circle of love that you have and circle of relationship. The next circle is your church. And you want to be with people who are committed just like you are, who have made and given some sort of an expression. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And this is what I believe about his death, burial, and resurrection. And we are going to commit to this local expression of his beloved bride, the church. And so I just think that, and furthermore, you can be a regular attender, but I just don't think you can possibly grow as much spiritually if you're not a serving member of a local church. You just, when you read the means of growth in Acts chapter 2, it talks about the early church, how they kept getting together. They were getting together daily. Why? Because they loved each other. And what were they listening to? The apostles preaching. What else were they doing? They were taking the Lord's table. People were getting baptized. They were worshiping God. They were praying to God. They were fellowshipping with one another. And you can't do those one another's without one another. And so you need to be a member of a local church. If your church doesn't or your denomination doesn't, If I were in a church and they said, we don't do membership, I would ask the question, so if I'm caught in sin, how are you going to bring me back? And if the pastor says, well, you know, we'll try to practice church discipline, and I'm not talking about being snarky, but the response I think would be, well, what right do you have to do that? You'd have no authority over me. I'm just appearing at your church when I feel like it. I'm not committed to it, and you're not committed to me. We don't have that sort of relationship. And Jimmy, you walked me off the ledge on this one. I think church membership is so important for your spiritual safety. I don't know that I would want to continue going to a church that didn't have membership.
I completely agree with that.
Because at this moment, I don't see anything on the horizon where I could trip, stumble, and fall. But none of us take heed, lest you too fall. It could happen to us, and you want your church to be able to go find you, rescue you, and bring you back in repentance. If you disagree with that, 877-282-2337.
All right, and this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard this statement said that all sins are equal in the eyes of God. Is that statement biblically correct?
Equal in what regard? Are they equal in that God hates all sin? Yes. Are they equal in that all sin is unrighteousness? Yes. However, that doesn't mean that all sins have the same consequences. Not all sins have the same effect. And I don't think that all sins are as one sin is not equal to the other in that there's no distinction. Because I think the Bible makes it clear there are distinctions. There's seven things God hates, and he lists them. When he talks about sexual sin, no such sin so affects the body as sexual sin. And what did Jesus say to Pontius Pilate? He who delivered him has the greater sin. And I think we know that intuitively, that there are some sins that are just worse than others. And so, for instance, when Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, look at a woman with lust. You've committed adultery in your heart. It's akin, but it's not exactly the same. The thought and the physical action are just different. So in the sense that all sin is worthy of damnation, we also need to know that there are degrees of punishment in hell based on people's sins. Now, they're equal in that they're all bad. They're not equal in that they're not all the same. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.